once again, Nitzavim, Tavshin Ayin Tes. Before Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Pei, Haba, Lina Letova. Zatem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You are standing before today, before the Rabbona Shalom. Right? Rosh Hashem, your heads. Shiftechem, or it could be Rosh Hashem, Lishiftechem, it could be the heads of your tribes, or it could be Rosh Hashem, your heads, and Shiftechem, and your tribes, right? That's a discussion. Ziknechem, the elders, Shotrechem, those who are the enforcers, right? Well, no, not necessarily. He's just talking about the day that he's going to bring them into the new Brit.
I was just curious about
that. Right, but the fact is what you call it, the Netziv, we'll see in just a scooch, says that it's just like on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, when all the Jewish people are gathered together, as they enter into a new existence, so that's a day when you say, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, right? You're all standing together, Kulchem, all together. So this is the day that they entered into a new covenant, right? But he says it's always true, doesn't it? See, every Rosh Hashanah, right? He goes through the whole 9 yards here in Pasuk Yud, Tapchem, the little children, Ishechem, wives, Gerchol, right? The proselytes, the Gerim, Asher Bekerv Machanecha, in the midst of your camp, from those who chop the wood, Ad Shoev Mimecha, to those who draw the water. Why? For what purpose? To cause you to pass into a bris Hashem with Hashem Elokecha uva'olaso, and with all the oaths, right, that go along with this bris, Asher Hashem Elokecha koris simcha hayom, that Hashem is establishing this covenant with you right today. That's it.
Before you enter Israel.
So let's take a look. See over here, right? The Hamikdavar, right? Just like you said, Vinei Biarnu. This Hamikdavar is here in Perek Chof Tes, right? That we just read, right? Hinei Biarnu Leel, right? Dvarim Yud Yud Beis. That in Sefer Dvarim Perek Yud Yud Beis, and we'll see that in just a moment. I have it here quoted down here. Inyan Mikra Zeh Mashe Pirish Hakosov Bekola Pratim. Why it went out with all these different sections and subsections of Klai, so Rosh Hashem, Shivtechem, Ziknechem, Gerchav, Tapchav, Nashach, why do you have to delineate all the different parts of the population? Umashapir, Shakosu, Vachola, Pratim, Vlohispik, Vmashamra, Temnik, Tavim, Ayom, Kuchem, why don't you say you're all here? Lesnei Hashem, Lekechem, Lavrucha, Bebris. Why do you have to say all these different population sectors? Okay? So there in Perek Yud, in Pasuk Yud Beis, right, the Netziv himself sends you to see what he says over there. He says, "V'parshas atem nitzavim ayom kulchem, roshichem shivtechem." You see that second citation there? Ziknechem, shotechem, kol ish Yisrael, tapchem, nishchem, v'gomer. All that whole nine yards. La'avrachav b'bris, etc. Ulchora, again, ostensibly, ma mikra chaser ilu chaser ksiv atem mitzavim ayom kulchem. Right? Why just write kulchem? Where I need the whole, all of every sector and subsector. Va'kol bechlal, it would all been included. Ela shebishvil. Now this is very important. Shall call echad bris bifnei atzmo. Every person has a covenant unto himself. Okay. U'mashashoel haKodesh Baruch Hu mizeh eino shoel mizeh. And what Hashem expects of one person, this is all the Netziv. What Hashem expects of one person, asks of one person, is not the same as what he asks or expects of another person. Right?
Okay.
Ukimat she'oser lekat hashenis kasher yivor. And it is on the verge of being usher to have expectations of one group that are not applicable to that group. Each person is seen according to himself, right? Each person is seen according to himself. Continues the Netziv after that, right? This is back to in Perikov Test, right? This is all bracketed. Elabod lamdeinu she'en adin v'cheshbon shel kol adam shaveh. The din v'cheshbon that each person gives is not the same as his friend, because he's got different nurture, different nature, different strengths and weaknesses. V'hikdim lomar hayom. And why did he say hayom? Atem nitzavim hayom, today. Just say atem. Obviously, we're not in a time machine. Obviously, when you're saying you're standing in front of Hashem, it's today. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. You're here today. I'm talking to you. Right? Why did he say hayom? V'hikdim lomar hayom. Why? Mishum shve'emes b'chol Rosh Hashanah. This is what you said before. B'chol Rosh Hashanah. The Yom Din Nitzavim Kol Yisrael Bezeh Ofen. In other words, the reason why I said Atem Nitzavim Hayom, he says, is not because he had to tell him what day it was. We know it's today, Right? The reason it says Hayom is because there are other circumstances in the Jewish people's experience where they're all standing together in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, looking at them, judging them, having made the same expectations for them individually. And what day is that? Rosh Hashanah. So both what's happening in the Parsha and the Rosh Hashanah that's coming are both parallel to one another, says Netziv. That's why the Torah goes out of the way and says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Why not? Because why you have to say Hayom? Again, just understand the issue. You don't have to say Hayom. Just say Nitzavim. Obviously, I'm talking to you today. We live in a stream of time. Bring a clip with me. We live in a stream of time, so obviously it's today, right? LMI says, and it's seen because there are other instances which are parallel to similar. And what is that? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Okay.
Rosh Hashanah is an everyday person gets judged
on Rosh Hashanah. Right, he said Rosh Hashanah. Right, the truth is, we recall there's a whole discussion in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. When is a person judged? Right, is he judged Rosh Hashanah? You know, Yom Kippur? Is it every day? Is it every moment? Is it? It's a discussion. But we'll deal with what we have at the moment.
Let's see.
Okay, so now, so that's as an individual. Now, as a group. We are, oh, that's a mistake, it's a misprint, I wrote R, O, U, R. We are Hashem's, H-B-A-R-E, we are Hashem's entourage on the earth, as a group. So first it talks about as individuals, and it says not two people can be judged the same way, nachon? And the discussion that we're now going to enter into is about how we're judged as a group. Okay. This is a pasuk in Iyov, right? First parak in Iyov. Vayi ayom, vayavo bnei Elokim lisatzev al Hashem, vayavo gam ha-satan besocham. This is really all the angels in heaven are coming before the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? And lisatzev, just like nitzavim, right? Standing. Lisatzev, to be standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the satan also came. Says the Malbim, al pize siper ki bnei Elokim shehem kitot or kochos hanimtsoyim b'chol abriya. Who are the malachim? Who are the bnei Elokim?
The Malbim.
The Malbim is saying this in the pasuk in Iyov, right? Who are these bnei Elokim? These are all the forces of creation that Hakadosh Baruch Hu made them. These are all the forces that Hashem made here.
With the people, everybody.
Right? No, not the people. The forces. Not people. We're talking about the forces. We're talking about like malachim. Right? Hashem's emissaries. The forces, the Bnei Elokim.
Why are they called Bnei Elokim? Everybody's Bnei Elokim.
No. We're not referred to as Bnei Elokim. We're Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol refers to us as Bnei Bechori. He doesn't call us Bnei Elokim. Bnei Elokim. Bnei Elokim is a reference to what he called the two forces, to kochos, right? That's why we have people make mistakes with regard to Avodah Zarah. That's what's called Elohim Acherim, false gods. We're talking about powers here. So these are the powers that Hashem has designated as being his emissaries in the world, right? He created them.
These are Hashem's emissaries.
Right, they're Malachim. Shehem Bonav Umasa Yodav. They are his children, Kaviyachol, they are his creations. Bo Lisyatsev Al Hashem. They came to stand before Hashem. Shemitzad Shehu Hashem. Because Hashem is Yudke Vavke, he's the source of everything. Mehave Umamtsi Kolon Amitzius. He gives existence to all of creation. Yisyatsu Bnei Elokim. Now they stand before him. Hakochos Kulamba. All the forces of existence stand before him. Kikiyam amitzius hibriya masmedes. Why? Because the continuation of reality is really just a constant recreation. And there's reality and everything that's in it is a constant recreation. So what happens is that all the angels come before him, right? They come before him to receive their marching instructions. On what day is this? Says the Targum, there in Iyov, we're talking about Reishata, right? V'hava b'yom adedina b'rei shata, on the day of judgment, on the first day of the year. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. So this is when, yeah, the entire Sefer of Iyov begins to be, as it were, to unfold with all the events that took place to Iyov. We should always be spared, right? But all those events, all that process began on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. But what we're focusing now on is on the idea that the Bnei Elokim, the Malachim, came to receive their marching instructions. Now, hold on to the cord. Now we're in a Medrash in Bamidbar, the beginning of Bamidbar. Okay? Medrash says, Dovar Acher, Heviyani El Beis Hayayin. Pasuk in Shir Hashem. Hashem brought me to the house of wine. Right? A place where drinking takes place. What's that? That's Sinai. The Shosh and Nigla Koshbrochot.
House of wine?
The house of Sinai. Why? Why is the house of wine called Sinai? Because just as when you drink some wine, as it were, you get a different perception and a different perspective on things. Nachon? Right? Get a little higher. You get a different perspective, of a different, a different view of things. So too, the Jewish people's experience at Sinai transformed their view of the world. Right? We said many times over, the Medrash says that just on the Pasuk, V'chol Am Roim Es HaKolos, that all the nations saw the sounds at Sinai. So the Medrash says, so you don't need the Medrash to ask the question, you ask the question, how can you see a sound? How can you see a sound? So the Medrash says that they heard...
That's why they were drunk.
That's not the point.
And, well,
please don't... Please. Okay, thank you. Right? Well, the Medrash says that they heard what they ordinarily saw, and they saw that which they ordinarily heard. Right? They saw what they ordinarily heard, and they heard what ordinarily they saw. And it was the idea being the experience of Sinai was like the experience, not generated by wine. It was like the experience of what he called of drinking wine, where a person's view of things is transformed. At Sinai, they saw, says the Rav Nefesh HaChaim, an explanation of the Medrash, ordinarily life, physical life you see, spiritual life you hear. I tell you a vort, you tell me a vort, I say I hear it, you tell me you hear it, I hear what you're saying. You don't see it. What you see in front of you, right, is your water bill. What you see in front of you is the line in the makolet. Right?
Physical life
you hear. Right? But at Sinai, the roles were reversed. Physical life you heard, and spiritual life you saw. In other words, it was clear, it was so thick and clear to them, the spiritual reality of things, that therefore they saw what ordinarily heard, and they heard ordinarily what they saw. So that within that context, the Shosh and Nigla Kodesh Baruch Hu Har Sinai Yardu Yimel Chof Beis Revovos Shel Malachim, 22,000 tens of thousands of Malachim came down. Right, in other words, showing Hashem's that they were Hashem's entourage as He came down to Sinai. He came escorted right with camp encampments of Malachim on all sides. 10,000s of them. And Kevisharo Oson Yisrael, all in the bold here in this Medrash, Kevisharo Oson Yisrael, when the Jewish people saw all these Malachim, that's part of their prophetic experience at Sinai, Shehem Asuyim Dgolim Dgolim, they saw that they were arranged encampments, Hishilu Misavim Lidgolim, they also wanted to be in encampments. What does that mean? It means, okay, just like they got to go to camp, I want to go to summer camp also? That's ridiculous, right? What does it mean, the golem is the golem? Amru, alavai, kach, anunasim, golem, kemosim. Alavai, we should also be the golem, kemosim. The idea being, what does that mean?
The golem,
like encampments, where they're gathered together through the flags, etc. But the idea of the flag is a means by which you gather together groups of people. You gather together, in that case, the Malachim. In this case, the Jewish people traveling to the desert, they're gathered together. Each one's a unique encampment. Three tribes to the east, three tribes to the west, three tribes to the south, three tribes to the north, etc. Each one, with its own encampment. And what the Jewish people were saying is that at Sinai, when they saw what was the spiritual reality of things, and the, as it were, the physical reality of things came onto the back burner of their existence, they said, we want to be the Malachim, just like the Malachim, here clearly, just like the Malachim are Hashem's entourage in heaven to carry out his instructions from the world of clarity, which is heaven, and to bring down these forces, these events, right, that are meant to take place. The further creation of the world, as it were, down in this world where things are not so clear, again, just as the Malachim were the entourage of Hashem and his Shlichim, his emissaries, to bring his instructions from a world of clarity, Shamayim, down to a world of ostensible darkness, the earth. Yeah? Hashem's presence is not clear. So too the Jewish people want to be on earth the emissaries of Hashem, right? To reveal Hashem's presence here in this darkened world and to declare, right, that it all comes from Hashem in Shamayim. So they want to be that type of entourage.
And that's what we do constantly. Declare Hashem is...
That's whatever we Hashem. Do. Torah, mitzvos, masim, tovim. When we're omid ben isayon, etc. When we control our temper. When we do whatever we can do through the lens of Hashem's Torah, as opposed to, yeah, just splenetically reacting and doing and this and that and next thing, or without any thought doing whatever we do. We are part of Hashem's entourage to reveal His presence here in this dark world and say it all comes from Him, from Shemayim.
Is it as if the angels came down and became our chavrusas?
That's why, well, I don't know. I can only say what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says they saw it, right? And and because of that, they said, we want to be like that. So now it's not just, right? It's not just there in the Midrash place. That becomes the job description of the Jewish people until the end of days. Says the Sfasemes, there in Bamidbar. Himashanita na Torah Bamidbar. The Torah, the fact that the whole Torah was given in the Midbar. Why? Dafka haya tilahabshich or haTorah af lemakom tohu. Right? The idea of the Torah being given in the Midbar is because that is what is wanted from man. That he should bring the light of Torah even to a place that's desolate. So the Midbar was physically desolate, etc.
So you believe that it's going to the moon? You're asking questions like that, you're going to go to the moon.
Right, him and Alice. Yeah, okay. Ukamosha Kosov, here in the bold here, right? Ukamosha Kosov, where is it? Ukamosha Kosov, you see where it says Ukamosha Kosov? No, in the Svastemis. The first word on the line. Here. Ukamosha Kosov. Ukamosha Kosov, Vahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, Zeklal Godol B'Torah. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Zeklal Godol B'Torah. Why? Ki Ayidei HaTorah, Shuchius Pnimius. That through the Torah, which is the internal deep reality, shall call Yisrael Mischabrim Lios Echad Mamish. In other words, through when a person's focus is on the Torah, his life becomes Torah centric, not egocentric, then all the Jewish people unify and become one. Because all the barriers are established by the peripheral, external, mundane things of Olam Hazeh, all barriers are created out there. You stepped on my toes, you annoyed me, you did this, you did that, the next thing you shouldn't have had that, why didn't I get it, right? I want what somebody else has, all the jealousies and the angers and everything is all based on external issues. When a person is Torah-centric, so they all become one. Echad mamish. Ki apirut rak halavush sheish l'kol echad. Because that is the kavana of the creation of man through the light of his soul. He should bring light to all physicality. Each person has got his own darkness. Each person has got his own darkness that he has to bring light to. Each person He's got his own darkness that he has to bring, bring light to. Because no two people's darkness is the same. No two people's nurture, nature, right? One person gets easily depressed, the other person is too filled with ego. One person is jealous, the other person is angry, right? No two people have the same darkness. And realize that this, all this is part of a global picture, that we wanted to do this in unity. In other words, each tribe has its unique message. Every person in the tribe has got his subset of unique message. Each grouping of tribes together, those to the east, those to the west, those to the south, those to the north, has got their unique message. So, further. It says a sasem, it's on our parsha. It says an atem nitzavim hayom kulchem hayom b'chol yom kishmachnisim atzmo laklal ki haklal tamid nitzav lifnei Hashem. You hear this? Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. Every day, every day the klal, the tzibur, is before Hashem. When you put yourself, when you attach yourself to the tzibur, now we're getting into a new shlav over here, a new stage. When you attach yourself to the tzibur, now this is not just something which is, as it were, you know, decided by Hashem. There's individuals and the tzibur. He looks at it this way. When you go, we have to do that also, right? And this, not only do we have to work on our individual issues, but we have to attach ourselves to the tzibur. Ki kol hakosu batoro hukayim laad, right? Everything that's in the Torah is forever. It's forever. And all of the letters of the Torah, like we've said before, Yesh Shishim, like the Shlosh says, Yisrael is Yesh Shishim, Rebo, Osios the Torah. The Shlosh says that the word Yisrael, Yud, Shin, Sin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed, spells Yesh, there is, Shishim, 16, Rebo, 10,000, recall, Osios, letters, La Torah. 600,000 root letters in the Torah and 600,000 root souls in Klal Yisrael. So that's where if you're attached to Klal Yisrael, you're attached to Kol Torah Kula. You're attached to reality. If you're not attached to Klal Yisrael, then you got a problem. Because maybe you've got your own letter, but your own letter is standing alone. That's to be attached to Klal Yisrael. The Chol Avoda, and then he says here, and all of Tfilah, right, again, Torah, in Torah, Torah is really important, is the reality. So every one of us is all oath in the Torah. And we want to be connected to the Torah. How do we make sure we maintain the stabilized state of being attached to one another? Through avoda, through tefillah. The whole avoda, svoda, tefillah, shebaleiv, lahachnis atzmu el haklal. You know, in tefillah, what one does is he attaches himself to Hashem, but he attaches himself to Hashem through attaching himself to Klal Yisrael. That's why the Arizal was so makbid on being Mekayim v'hafta l'reicha kamocha before he began to daven. If you start davening thinking, this guy next to me is a creep, right? The guy in front of me is a faker. The guy behind me, right, is a ditz. The guy to my left over here, I can't wait to put him on a pair of rollerblades on top of the tallest staircase I can find. Yeah? Then the tefillah is, you've just trashed your tefillah. You trashed your tefillah.
But how do you trash your tefillah?
By detaching yourself
from the cloth.
From what do you call, from one another. Right? Because we're all the cloth, because Yisrael, right? The Jewish people are the 600,000 root letters in the Torah, 600,000 root souls. And that's how we're connected to, we call it, to the Torah. But if we're not connected to one another, so we wouldn't call it the Yud and the Resh, the Sin, the Aleph, the Lam, they're not attached to each other, so we're not attached to the Torah. Says the Meshech Chachman, this is something very, very useful, right, for davening all the time. Meshech Chachman says, see the second last citation here on page 1. Vine inyan hamikdash ulachid klalios Yisrael ulvaveim el mokum echad. The purpose of the mikdash, right, or one of the purposes, yeah, the purpose of the mikdash is to unite all of the Jewish people, all their hearts to one place, That's what we do. Whenever we daven, we always look, what do you call, we're always facing towards the Beis HaMikdash, as though we were in the Kodesh Kodashim, standing before the Shekhinah. Oh, everybody, every Jew davens. That's the way, the direction he davens. Says the Shem Meshach Chokmah, Kosha Amru, Haya Omid, wherever you're standing, be mechavin towards the Mokom Mikdash. Nimsu, says the Gemara there, Kol Yisrael mechavnim et libam lemokom echad. We all are directing our hearts to one place. V'lachein tamid haisa sham hanhaga nisis. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was always supernatural things taking place there. 10 constant miracles, always in the Beis HaMikdash. The whole world runs naturally. That's also Hashem's will. Nothing exists without Hashem's will. But it's what we call natural. Comes the Beis HaMikdash, always constant miracles, constant miracles, constant miracles. Why? Because since all the souls of the Jewish people, right, are focused over there, right, and the Jewish people as a whole is beyond the world of mazel. Ain't mazel Yisrael, the Jewish people as a whole, right, is beyond the world of mazel. So therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, there were constant nisim. Ushaman asar nisim, shenasa Beis HaMikdash, ulaharos af, shekol prati, b'fnei atzmo, eino roi, lios mushkach, b'pirtei hanoga. You hear this? It's an unbelievable thing. This is for all of us who think, why should Hashem, in other words, let's say we do something, a certain status quo in my life. I want to change it. Now, how do you change it? What happens is that when you connect to the Rabbona Shel Olam, on a higher level, you're above the mazel. Everybody comes in this world with mazel. Everybody comes in with a packet, right? Nurture, nature, packet, yeah, events, etc. So what am I davening for? This is the way it's supposed to be. Davening has the capacity, and again, we never subvert Hashem's plan, because in His plan, every way leads to the same end. Right? So if we shift it from this way and to another way, it's only what he called, because that's in our bechira, or through our level of connection, we've shifted the path. But all paths lead to only one thing, the revelation of His name, the revelation that He's one. Right? So in any event, but how can I do it? I'm deeply admired, I'm deeply enmeshed, right, in all the junk of Olam Hazeh. So even if I daven well, you know, and I focus on davening, what is it going to help? What do you call, why is she listening to me? Why is she change, as it were, the natural pattern of things for me? Because I'm davening, I'm chopped liver without onions. To which, what do you call, to which the Meshach Chacha is saying, is because when you were all focused towards Yerushalayim, we're all focused to the Beis HaMikdash, we're all focused towards the Kodesh Kodashim. When we come over there, all the souls meld together and become one. So there it's as though we pass through a distillation process. You've passed through paper that cleanses out. The purity of every soul comes and interlocks with every other soul and every other soul and every other soul. Yeah. The purity right there in the Mokwa Mikdash. And the result is that pure Klal Yisrael in the Mokwa Mikdash is above the world of Mazel. So my tefillahs are riding on my connection to all of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael as a whole, right? Even if I as an individual am not worthy of the highest level of Hashgacha Pratis. If under normal circumstances I would assume that I'd be in Hashgacha Klalis, but in order to make a change to tefillah I need Hashgacha Pratis. Neshkacha Pratis, the high level of Neshkacha Pratis. But when I focus there, that's where all the hearts become one. Kol Libam Shel Yisrael Mechavnim Lakam Echad. Nimsu Kol Yisrael Mechavnim Es Libam Lakam Echad. All the hearts are directed there. Bang! Now that becomes part of an entity that's higher than the world of Mazel. Right. So that's true, right? That's true in general, in terms of davening. And all this is true for Rosh Hashanah as well. Says the Gemara, right, says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the last citation on page 1. It says, Ba'arba Prakim, Ha'olam Nidon. The world is judged at 4 different times. Pesach, Atzeres, report, Lechag, etc., Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, it says, Kol Ba'ei Olam Ovrim Lefanov Kivnei Maron. All of the world passes before the Creator Kivnei Maron. So the Gemara discusses what those Bnei Maron are. We'll see, right? Shneimar, the Rishon Pasuk, Hayotzer Yachad Libam, right? He, what do you call it? He forms, he creates together all of their hearts. Hamevin el kol maaseim, he understands all of their deeds. All their deeds. Okay? So what it says the Gemara, the flip time, page 2. Right? Rosh Hashanah kol bayi olam urim lefanav v'kivnei maron. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, all the world passes before Kadosh Baruch Hu, kivnei maron. So the Gemara asks, my b'nei maron, what does b'nei maron mean? So the Gemara answers, gives three answers. One says kivnei imrona, like the sheep. Right, the sheep who are going, what do you call it, are going into the corral, right, to be counted for, let's say, Maaser Behema. Rish Lakish says, like Malos Beis Choron, it's a narrow mountain path in a place called Beis Moron. And Rehuda says, Kichayelos Shel Beis David, like the soldiers in David's army. So we've talked about this Shemi Shmuel before. Let's just synopsize it. He says the three different interpretations of what it means that all of the world passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah Kivnei Maron, either like sheep going into the ground, or like a narrow mountain path, or like the soldiers in David's army, right? Each soldier is being looked at in his job description. So says the Shemi Shmuel, the three ideas over here are talking about the three broad areas in which we are judged on Rosh Hashanah. And what are those three areas? First of all, is the sheep. The sheep, they all can have one will.
One rutzel.
They follow the shepherd. They all go follow the shepherd to the peaceful waters. One lave, the Medrash says, one lave, lavim shabashamayim, just like the sheep had one heart to follow their shepherd, so too the Jewish people can unite in their hearts, right? In their hearts, to all want to come follow the shepherd, to follow Rabbeinu Shalom. So the level of judgment, or the aspect of judgment talking about, is how much heart do we put into our service of Hashem? That's the idea of the sheep. How much heart do we put into it? The next aspect is the narrow mountain path. Says the Shemi Shmuel, a narrow mountain path, the Gemara says, where only one person can pass at a time. It's so narrow. Only one person can pass at a time. That's the world of the intellect. No two people have the same understanding of something. In other words, you can all sing and dance together, you can dance in a circle together, you can be happy together, but no two people understand something exactly the same way. The narrow mountain path is the world of the intellect, not the heart. So we're judged then how much seichel, how much thought have we put into our mitzvos. How much heart, how much thought. And the final thing is like the chayolim of Beis David, like the soldiers in David's army. So the Shemi Shmuel, that's talking about kvishas hayetzer. How much are you willing, as it were, to overcome your yetzer hara? And the first two things are positive developments. How much heart do you put in? How much intellect do you put in? Each person according to who they are, obviously. And the last thing is, how much do you quash the false worldview that's trying to keep you from doing these mitzvahs properly. So all of this, right? All of this are the ways that we are judged. The way we are judged. But, right? We're not just judged as individuals. Mm-hmm. The ticket to success is also in how much we attach ourselves to the klal. And that's what Reb Tzarka Cohen in Reb Sisei Lila talks about. The Chayim Rosh Hashanah, Isa B'Zohar, Pasuk, it says in the Zohar, on the Pasuk, B'soch Ami Anochi Yosheves. I am in the midst of my people. This is the words of the Shunamis to Gehazi. Right?
What does that mean, attach yourselves onto the cloud?
Oh, so in other words, the degree to which you see yourself as part of the whole, right? The degree to which you try to, in other words, Hashem's name needs to be revealed in the world, right? The only way that Hashem's name is going to be revealed in the world the way it should be is through the complete entourage, right, of the Jewish people. But if I'm focused on myself, I'm focused on myself. Imagine, you know, imagine you've got a group of dancers, right, on a stage. You've got a group of dancers on a stage.
Too cold.
Get what? Put it on the floor because we're falling asleep. Imagine a group of dancers, right, on a stage, right? Group of dancers on a stage. And this, it's all been, you know, choreographed before. You know, we got to do this. And one person decides he wants to do his thing, right? And he may be a great dancer, but he messed up the entire show. So Havdil is the same thing also over here. If my Ratzon is to reveal Hashem's name in the world, that means I have to see myself with my individual strengths, with my individual baggage, etc., right, that I have to deal with, because we said everybody's got their own issues. Right? I'm trying to bring light, as a word, to my issues. Right? Each person has got his unique areas that he has to work on or to develop. He's got strengths he has to develop. He's got dark patches in himself. He's got to try to work on them, try to get rid of them, etc. But all of it has to be within the context that I'm contributing to everybody else's. In our communal effort to reveal Hashem's name.
If everybody's working on themselves, how are we contributing to the communal effort?
Again, if you got the dancers on the stage, so everybody's got to know what part of the dance they have to be doing. You know, which steps you're supposed to be doing. You got to be doing this set of steps or that set of steps, etc. They're not just have to be all doing the same steps, but it's all meant to blend together. So each person has got to be doing what is incumbent upon him, but he has to be doing it within the context I want, right? From all of Klai Yisrael to come out Kiddush Shem Shamayim. If I'm detached from the rest of Klai Yisrael, I'm standing there by myself. I'm not in good shape. The Jewish people as a whole, like we said before, the Jewish people as a whole are higher than the world of Teva. Ain't Mazal Yisrael, but the requirement, right? The requirement is that whatever I'm doing has to be within the context. Doesn't mean I'm ignoring what I need to do about myself, but it has to be within the context of that I'm trying to reveal Hashem's name as part of all the other Jews. If I'm cutting myself off from them, so then you know that's it. I missed the boat. Says Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, says Lachem Rosh Hashanah. It says in the Zohar, Al Apostlik, Besoch Ami Anochi Yosheves. In other words, when Elisha, the Navi, instructed Gehazi, his servant, to ask of the Isha Shunamis, who had given them a room, right, a table, a place where to stay, she split up her house even to make it available. So Elisha said to Gehazi, ask her if she needs anything. And she said to him, "Besoch ami anochi yosheves." I'm part of, says the way the Zohar understands, I'm part of the whole tzibur. How could I be missing anything? I'm attached to everybody else. Besoch ami anochi yosheves. I don't need anybody to intervene for me, whether king or intervene with me with the head of the army, right? I'm attached to what you call to everybody else. I'm in the midst of everybody else. I have no other needs. You don't have to intervene for me. That's my strength. My strength is I'm attached to everybody else. You don't have to intervene for me to speak to the king. Why? Because whatever I need, Hashem will send me. Why? Because I sit in the midst of my people. I'm connected to everybody else. My strength is in the fact that I'm connected to everybody else. I'm not disconnected. That's what the Zohar says. Right? Again, the Zohar is talking about Rosh Hashanah, right? On Rosh Hashanah, the Zohar brings down this pasuk that the ticket to success on Rosh Hashanah is that one should see oneself attached for the Jewish people. In other words, you should be concerned for the Jewish people. In other words, when Rosh Hashanah is coming now, so we're going to be thinking about a lot of things, right? Are we going to live this year? Is it going to be an easy year? Is it going to be a good year? Etc. We think a lot of things. We want to declare Hashem as the Melech, which is really what we should be focused on. We want to declare Hashem as the Melech. Okay? But if it's all just about me, myself, and I, and I couldn't care about anybody else, I've missed the point. If I'm not saying, Rabbon Shalom, have mercy on your... mercy. May Kiddush Shem Shamayim come out from all of the Jewish people. All of the Jewish people. From Eretz Yisrael should come Kiddush Shem Shamayim. From Klal Yisrael should come Kiddush Shem Shamayim. So then I'm on the right focus. But it's all just about me, myself, and I. So I'm standing alone. If I stand alone, I don't have a lot of strength. The Isha Shunami said, you don't need to speak for me. In other words, let's say I need something. I'll daven. Oh, but maybe you're not on the highest madrega. I mean, maybe I should intervene. I should speak for you to the king or something like that. You need a special intervention. She said, I don't need any special intervention. What for? I don't need special intervention. Why? Because I sit in the midst of my people. I'm connected to all the Jewish people. The Jewish people have the ultimate clout. They're before Hashem always. They're higher than everything. I sit in their midst. I'm with them. I attach to them. So again, I have to know what my individual job is. Right? The strengths I have that I need to develop. The glitches, right, that I need is the word to repair in my character, in my conduct, right, in my worldview, in my what I do, etc. But all that has got to be within the context of that I'm part of the Jewish people, and I want every individual also to be successful in that area, because from all of the Jewish people as a whole will be revealed Hashem's presence in the world. The gam divrei chazal v'niskorim b'skira achas hu hamtoko l'masha amru b'mishnah kivnei moron. That's what it says, that Reb Tzadok, he says, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Right? That's what the Mishnah is saying, that we're all seen b'skira achas. We pass, like, let's say sheep, one at a time, into the corral, right? With the whatever pirushim we saw before, the Shem Shmuel, but the three different aspects of what b'nei moron means. But the idea is that we're judged individually, but it's all beskir achas, with one overview of everybody all together. Beskir achas. In other words, Hashem sees everybody as individual, but He sees everybody as individual within the klal. So He's not just looking at the klal, but He's looking at every individual within the klal. Within the klal. So if you're within the klal, you put yourself within the klal, so you're seen within the klal. It's good. If you're not within the klal, because you're the devil with everybody, I'll do what I want. Then you're, as they say in French, gahak de tzaris. Right, you're gahak de tzaris. Bad news for the Jews. Right? Because on Rosh Hashanah, says the Reb Tzadok, right, is the time of Malchus Shamayim. Malchus Shamayim. We are coronating the king. And the glory to the coronation of the king is that he has a very varied, populace, but all focused on service of the king. Right? Not that we're all cinder blocks looking exactly the same. We're all different. But we're all committed to serving the king. The third to the last line in Zerub Tzadok. Everybody is judged as an individual. Now is the time to coronate the king. That's what generates the creation of the world. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, the creation of the world? Because Hashem wants to give. Hashem wants to give to us. The way that He gave to us is by making creation, making reality stand upon the concept of Malchus. Because when we're talking about Malchus, kingship, that makes us indispensable. Because there's no king without people. Right? And it's the fact that he designed creation, designed reality, to run upon the principle of Malchus, makes us indispensable. So now we're recreating the world. This is the day of the creation of man. This is the day of Malchus. And in Malchus, we want all the varied, and disparate and different and aspects of the population all be focused towards the king. That's the glory of the king. That every type of person, Rashechem, Shivtechem, like we saw at the beginning of the parsha, Nitzavim, Rashechem, Shivtechem, every different type of person, all with their own individual judgments, but all focused towards one thing. And in conclusion, this is a lot to think about. But in conclusion, right? In conclusion, just say something very interesting. I'm not going to go into this whole Gemara, Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara discusses, different machlok is different tanoim when exactly the din takes place. Like we said before, it's Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos. Again, I'm not against the whole Gemara. Or is a person judged every day? Is a person judged every moment, etc.? So the Gemara says, at one point it says, Amr of Yosef, the very bottom line, the bottom bolded line over here. Keman matzlina ha'idna aktsiri v'amri. When we're davening, if let's say, the way the Gemara understands this point, if let's say everything is determined on Rosh Hashanah, and even the Gzar Din, the final closure of the Din is on Yom Kippur, why are we davening for people during the year? People become ill, or people are weak. Aktsiri v'amri. Come on, who are we davening like? Says the Gemara to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is of the opinion we're judged every day. Okay. The Vaisemel Olam Krabonin Ukud Rav Yitzchak. The Gemara says no. That's not to be the only Rav Yossi. And it was, even if there's a judgment, right? There's a judgment on Rosh Hashanah, but we're still davening for people who get sick, etc., who are not well, who are weak. We daven for them. We daven them. Why? So says the Gemara, even if we don't say like Rabbi Yossi, in other words, even if everything took place Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Kirab Yitzchak, the Amr of Yitzchak, Yafet Tzak Ala Adam Ben Kodem Gzar Din Ben La'achar Gzar Din. In other words, Rabbi Yitzchak says that a person, as it were, can, through Tefillah, change the Gzar Din, and even if everything took place on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Everything took place in Rosh Hashanah. It's all decided then, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Nonetheless, tefillah can change things. Okay, fine. That's where Yitzchak says. So now, Tosas asks a question. Right? Tosas asks a question. He says, how could you think that you don't daven? Right. I mean, what about, and when the Gemara says you were only davening for these people, according to Yossi, what does that mean? Well, they thought that according to the Chachamim, that everything is decided in Rosh Hashanah. They didn't say, they didn't ask for Parnasa in Baruch Aleinu and Birchas Hashanim. They didn't ask for Refuah and Refaenu. what was the Chachamim? What can you guys actually suggest something like that? So it's asking a question, how can you have a Havamina that would call the only people you're davening according to? It's only according to Yosef, the person is judged every day. So what does that mean? That meant according to the Chachamim, who said the person's judgment is on Rosh Hashanah and closed on Yom Kippur, that they didn't say Rifainu, they didn't daven Shmones, right? They say Rifainu, heal me, right? There was no bracha Rifainu, there was no bracha Parnasa. Why it's all decided on Rosh Hashanah? Why am I bothering to daven? What?
Got the question. The answer's not too clear.
I didn't say an answer yet.
Oh,
that's what they call it, right? So what does it mean? How can they suggest that? I mean, does it mean that if because the din is on Rosh Hashanah and finished on Yom Kippur, then how do you daven? I don't understand. What does that mean? That they didn't daven afterwards? They didn't daven the whole year round? What were we thinking? How could that be possibly true? So the Gemara, and then he asks the question: Ha Amar Per Kamed Shabbos Hanichnas, right? Yes. Rabbi Yehuda, who's of the opinion?
Back in the
Tosas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the din starts on Rosh Hashanah and ends Yom Kippur, right? He says, but he himself says in Shabbos, if you go in to see a sick person, Hanichnas Avaker Achola Omer Amokim Rapa Cholecha Val Choli Amo Yisrael. See himself, Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Rabbi Yehuda himself, who says that the person's din starts on Rosh Hashanah, ends on Yom Kippur, he himself says, if you come in to visit a sick person, you should say to him, Amakim Rabbi Oschab, Besok Shar Chol Yisrael, the person, Hashem should heal you amongst all the sick people, of what he called the sick people. And that is it. If he himself is the one who says it starts on Rosh Hashanah, ends on Yom Kippur, what's it going to help if you visit a sick person 6 months later, and he said God should heal you amongst all the sick of Israel? we're not getting involved the whole Tosis, but the last thing Tosis says, right? He says,
Tosis is going to answer the question.
Tosis has the question. He says, Vahid Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda Nami, Yesh Liyashiv Kai Gavna, the Damila Rabim, Tavi Matzli Bahade Kol Acholim. Right? Tosis answers. He says, there's a difference, right, between an individual davening and the difference between a tzibur, between the public davening. He says, according to Yehuda, an individual, so he maybe he can't change things. He can't change the gzar din. But when you're davening for the tzibur, then you can change the gzar din.
Davening with the tzibur.
Mm-hmm. And then he says an unbelievable chiddush, right? He says, and when Rabbi Yehuda said, when you go in to visit a person who's sick, and you say to him, may you be healed amongst all the other people who need healing, the Jewish people, that is like a tefillah with the Rabbim. You hear that? That's like a tefillah with the Rabbim. In other words, it doesn't mean you have to be standing with a minion. And obviously standing with a minion is better. But you don't need to be with a minion. When you're including this person to be healed along with all the other people in Klai Yisrael who need healing, that is a tefillah that's linked to the Jewish people as a whole. And that can overcome, right, any gzar din. That has the ability to overcome any gzar din. So what it's done is really, it's brought us back to what we've been saying all along. Right? We stand as individuals, but it has to be on a backdrop, it has to be on a canvas in which we're attached to one another. So much so, says the Tosfos over here, that even according to an opinion, when they initially think that everything is decided, Rosh Hashanah and finished on Yom Kippur, so how could you possibly daven, right? How could you possibly daven to change something afterwards? He says that's only if you're trying to change an individual, according to this opinion. But if you focus on that individual and want to link him to all the other people who have the same need in the Jewish people, be it for a shidduch, be it for a refuah, be it for parnasa, be it for shalom bayis, be it for whatever it is, that becomes a tefillah with the rabbim, and that has the ability always to overcome any gzar din. So I think we've seen a lot today. We know that we have to. Let's just recap briefly. We're going to be judged how much head, how much heart, how much strength of overcoming our Yetzer Hara we're willing to put into our service of Hashem. Each person is going to be judged based upon his unique nurture nature packet. The expectations for one person are not the same as the expectations for another person. Right? And it's even the wrong thing to try and apply expectations from one upon the other, because we're not the same people. And yet, at the same time, all of this has to be done upon a canvas of being attached to one another, because that shows that we're interested in revealing Hashem's presence in the world, which is what we wanted, right? Every individual and Kaisel as a whole, that's what they wanted from the time of our standing at Sinai. We want to be Hashem's entourage here on earth. The only way we can be Hashem's entourage on the earth is if each person focuses on what he needs to do with himself, but within the context, upon the backdrop, upon the canvas of, but I want all of Klal Yisrael to succeed, because that's the way Hashem's name will be revealed in the world, because no two people are sent to this world to reveal the same message. So if we daven like that, Be'ezer Hashem, about our individual issues, that we want to serve Hashem, we want to serve Hashem through all of our individual strengths and through the overcoming of our individual glitches. We want to serve Hashem, but we want to serve Hashem within the context that all of the Jewish people should be successful in their service of Hashem, and that His name should be glorified. Then we'll have justified the recreation of the world and of Klal Yisrael, leading, as it were, in that recreation on this Rosh Hashanah. Habalim Latova. Amen.
Amen.